Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
I'm just so proud of MJ. And how many of you know Liam is a camera hog? Did you notice that? He just looks at the camera and looks at the camera. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, Liam, you are so your papa's child. Moms, don't you know whenever the kids do the good stuff, they are your children. Whenever the kids do the bad stuff, your father's child. Right. But I just want to say thanks, moms, because you buy all the food, you put it in the refrigerator, you cook it, you shove it in there. The kids open the refrigerator and say, there's nothing to eat in here. You pre-treat the clothes, wash them, dry them, fold them. They open their closet and say, I have nothing to wear. But you're the first person they look for when they're hurt. They need advice. They need a hug, or they just need their mama. Y'all, could we just give moms a hand real quick? Just give mama a hand. I got to have some fun over this past week or two. I got to go to California and Houston and do some speaking I was just really excited about it. And I was in Houston and I was at the hotel and I wanted some tea, which is a lie. I wanted coffee, but tea likes my stomach better. So I was going to order some tea, but I'm too cheap to pay for. If you order tea in a hotel, they want like $5. I'm like, this tea bag is 18 cents. So I bring my own tea, right? So I call downstairs and I ask for some hot water. And I know they're probably going to charge me a couple bucks. And they bring it upstairs. And the lady delivering the tea, she has this accent I've never heard before. And so I'm like, oh, I love your accent. What kind of accent is this? And just so you know, her accent sounded nothing like this. But I don't know how to do her accent. So she's like, oh, I'm from Africa. And I'm like, oh, what part of Africa? She's like, oh, I forget, it's big. She says, I am from Congo. I'm like, oh, I don't know anything about Congo. We're on TV in Africa. Like, your family and us, we like could connect. It could be really cool. She's like, oh, not in Congo. I'm like, not in Congo? She's like, no, my country, we just fight, fight, fight. War, war, war. She did this with her hands. She's like, we don't get things like TV stations. I was like, holy cow. I mean, I forgot that how spoiled I was that there are 197,000 stations on TV. And the biggest reason I don't watch TV is because I can't find anything on that I like. It just click, click, click. So I asked her for the bill to sign. And she says, oh, there is no bill. No bill for this. It's just hot water. I'm like, y'all hotel, you don't give nothing for free, right? Like, where's my bill? And she's like, no, there's no bill for you. And I'm like, but how do I tip you? Because when I had come in town and I had overheard some of the hotel staff speaking downstairs saying like, hey, is this like going to pick up? Because we need to make more tips. So I'm like, I got a tipper. And, you know, anybody else not carry cash? You got, like, a credit card and a phone. Like, you walk into a store, they don't take Apple Pay. You panic. Like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? So I'm like, I need to tip you. And she's like, oh, don't worry about it, madam. All right, now you call me madam. Like, I haven't been called madam in my whole life. And suddenly I feel fancy. I'm in my gym clothes. And she's like, no, it's our treat. I'm like, wait. So I do what any woman does, and I dump out my purse on my bed. Like, like, what can I find? And like, I see some change. I'm like, oh no. Like, is this what's going to happen right now? So I start counting the quarters. I'm like, surely there's got to be something here. And there's like $2.50 in quarters. And I'm like, okay, ma'am, please don't be upset with me, but this is what I have. So I can't let you leave this room without some kind of tip. And I know there's no bill because it was free, but like, I'm giving, it's quarters, but it's like $2.50, please. Like, oh my gosh, please. And she's like, oh no, madam, I can't take this from you. No, it's free. I'm like, no, please. I know they're quarters, but please take the quarters. And she's like, ma'am, you don't have to do it. Thank you so much. And she leaves and the door closes. And I'm like, I got to give her more than that. So I'm going, I'm tearing my purse apart and I find a $20 bill. And I'm like, oh, but I can't find my room key. And I know it took like a minute. And I know she's running down the hall. So I run and open the door. I put my foot by the door. Thank goodness I'm tall. I put my other foot in the hallway. And I'm like, excuse me, ma'am. Ma'am. And she's like, she comes back around the corner and she says, are you talking to me? I'm like, yeah, can you come back for a second? She's like, you want me? Because I look crazy. I'm like, yeah, I don't have my room key, but I just need you for 1 second. And she's like, okay, yes, madam, can I help you? I'm like, you know, there's no way. I just couldn't do this with the quarter and all the things. And so I just had to. And she was like pulling the quarters towards her stomach. And I knew I was trying to get this in her hand. And I knew she knew what I was up to, but I was going to bless her anyway. So I just like, I shoved the $20 bill in her hand and I try and close the door real quick because I know she's going to try and give it back. So I hear, dang it. So I open the door and I know she's gonna try to give it back, and she goes, madam, my children, they made me a Mother's Day card for Mother's Day, but I had no way to celebrate with them. I just want you to know now I will celebrate with my children and we will have pizza. Y'all, I hope you're not clapping for me, because it took me like minutes to get my act together to even do that. And I was probably supposed to do more, but I do hope you're clapping for God. Because God knew that there is a mom and all she wants to do is buy her kids some pizza, and she's got no tip. And he knows you have a dream and you have a desire in your heart, and he knows what it is. And there's some stranger behind some door somewhere that he's going to work on to help your dream, help your desire, help that come true for you. And I want to let you know that there's doors opening for you. God's dream for you is coming to pass, and you just can't let it die. Somebody give God a shout of praise. God is working behind the scenes. But I have a question for you. Have you settled and let a dream die in your life? Did you just look at it and go, probably not going to work for me, so I'm just going to let it go? God's dream for you is what the enemy fights. I want you to hear me again. God's dream for you is what the enemy fights. So go with me to Genesis 37. Genesis 37 is the story of Joseph. You know, it jumps around 37 at Genesis 39, because there's like this interrupt of the story about Judah and Tamar somewhere in the Bible, and it keeps going. But Joseph, people like the end of the story, but I want to talk to you about the beginning. Because this boy was not born until his daddy was 91 years old. Now, I don't know how his daddy had a baby at 91 years old. All I have to do is say props to you, man. You finally pulled it off. But here's the deal. He had 10 older brothers with Jacob and Leah. Jacob didn't want to marry Leah. Jacob got tricked into marrying Leah. So Jacob kept having babies with Leah, but he loved Rachel. And he had to wait 14 years to marry Rachel. Then he kept trying to have a baby with Rachel and couldn't. So when this baby's finally born, when you wait for something for 91 years, you are ready to spoil this child. Anybody waiting on grandchildren, say amen. All y'all over there, may God deliver them to you in Jesus' name. So the 10 older brothers, they don't have fancy coats. They don't have stuff. Like, they know that dad doesn't even treat their mom like he treats Rachel over here. Rachel finally has a kid, and a normal robe of a favored person was sleeveless, and it was about knee length, and it was one color. But the robe of royalty, oh no, it had sleeves. You saw somebody in sleeves, they were going on. I guess I only made it halfway. And this is supposed to be full length. This is what happens when you're as tall as a giraffe. Like, my arms are supposed to be this long. So his robe is full length. His robe goes to the ground. His robe is not one color. His robe is multiple colors. You see, there is this favor on Joseph's life, and his brothers hate him for it. What did Joseph do to get the favor? Nothing. He was simply born to the Father. I want to remind you today, you might think that there's nothing you've done that makes you favored. There's nothing that you've done that makes you special. And I want to remind you, nope, you missed something. There was something that you have done. You came in, you prayed the salvation prayer, and you got yourself born to the Father. So that's put a coat of favor on your life. And being in this house, you know, you are in the first of 5 years of grace and favor that is on your life. And in 2020, WON, you are definitely going to win. Turn to your neighbor right now and tell them, I got favor. Turn to the neighbor on the other side and say, I'm called to thrive. And when we first have a dream, we don't necessarily know what it looks like. You see, we're looking at our dream and we're like, it looks like it could be something, but it doesn't necessarily look like everything. I remember in 1996, I was driving down the street leaving my mom's house. My divorce was becoming final. This is from my ex-husband. My ex-husband, I married him after a wild ride of my life. I didn't honestly think that I was really good marriage material just because I'd had enough junk happen to me. I thought I had more baggage than an airport carousel. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody else carry around some bags in their life? Go ahead and say amen. So when I found this guy with like high cheekbones and he worked out and he had like these medical initials after his last name and he married me, I thought life was going to be like good. Like my mind was blown. I couldn't believe it. And it was 3 weeks into our marriage. We got married March 25th, 1995. And 3 weeks later, it was my birthday, April 19th, 1995. I remember it, and you probably do too, because it was the day of the Oklahoma City bombing. I didn't realize it was a physical picture of what was happening in my life that day, because that night my husband didn't come home. He didn't come home on Thursday. He didn't come home on Friday. He didn't come home on Saturday. He did not come home until Sunday. And Sunday night when he came in the front door, he didn't like come in the front door. He flew in with such force. He opened the front door so hard the door handle of the door went through the drywall behind it. He flew around to the front of the couch, and I stood up and I said, "Where have you been?" Which was obviously the wrong thing to say to a guy who was coming down from using crack for the first time. He ends up herniating my C7. He breaks my ribs. This is over time, not all at the same time. I remember when I went to the doctor with my neck because I couldn't turn my neck anyway, and the doctor said, "What happened?" I said, "Well, we have a Rottweiler. I was wrestling with the Rottweiler. The Rottweiler put his hand on my face, and it turned my neck." He said, "What's his name?" I said, "Oh, my Rottweiler's a female. Her name is Miranda." He said, "No, what's your husband's name?" You see, I just want to pause right there for a second. And you think you're pulling it off. You think your dream is dead and you're okay covering it up and nobody really notices that you're living this substandard survival life instead of the life of thriving that you are called to raise up to. But I want to let you know God sees it. I want to let you know I see it. I want to let you know the people in this church see it. And we're going to confront you about it. And we are going to call that dream out of you and say, "No, I know you have reasons to blame why you have to live down here. But you aren't called to live down here. What used to be your ceiling is called to be your floor. And you are called to rise up and take your place in Christ. And you can't stay down here anymore. We're going to raise you up." Somebody say, "I am called to thrive." So I left my mama's house and I got my first call to ministry. I didn't know what it was. It didn't look like the full thing. What I heard was, "You're supposed to talk to people about this." What I thought that meant was, I called my mom and said, "I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, am I supposed to go to high schools and tell kids you don't have to do drugs? You just have to be around people who do and it can still ruin your life." And my mama said, "That sounds like a very noble cause." And I'm like, "Well, okay, because I think I'm supposed to do it." And I didn't know what it meant. You might not know what it means. Joseph didn't know what it meant. So he's wearing his robe. The brothers hate him already. And he has these dreams. And he says, "Hey, guys, I had this dream. Like, you guys had these harvest crops and these sheaves, and I had mine, and your sheaves bowed down to my sheaves." And the brother's like, "We're going to kill you. Like, seriously, we don't like you anyway." They smiled on the outside, and they hated him. Joseph actually went through life. It doesn't really say it in the Bible. You have to study out the history of it. The brothers didn't even talk to him. He walked around shunned and hated all the time, but it didn't stop him from dreaming. He went and told him, "Hey, I had another dream." I had this dream that the sun, moon, and the stars, they all bowed down to me. It was awesome. And the brothers hated him. It says in verse 5, Joseph told him his dreams, and the brothers hated him even more. The Bible tells you this thing. And basically it says, hey, you have to balance this tension between this dream that you have and casting your pearls before swine. Because if you tell the wrong people your dreams, you're like, you know what? I know what I'm called to do. I'm called to do this thing. I'm called to start this business. So I'm just going to make it bloom. I'm going to make it, oops, sorry about that one. I'm going to make it so pretty. Y'all aren't even going to believe it. And y'all aren't even going to know me. I mean, people are going to know my name, and I'm going to be known, and I'm going to give God all the glory, and my business is, doggone it. My business is going to be awesome. How many of you know that don't look right? So there's a tension between what God planted in my heart in 1996 and the first time I ever said anything on any platform anywhere when I did a Valentine's message once with my husband in 2007. It was 11 years. Everybody say 11 years. 2007 to 2017. I wrote my first book in 2017. That was 10 years. Everybody say 10 years. 2 decades. 2 decades. So if I try to force this thing, like, I know that God's using my pain for my platform. He gave me that promise. How many of you know? Probably nobody's going to stop and look at that. That's the same thing that was happening with Joseph. So Joseph's with these guys, and they are hating on him. Here's the other thing you have to know. There's the tension, and there's a balance. Because I want you to write this down. Are you ready? If you don't write down anything today, write down these three words. Ready? Haters going to hate. Haters gonna hate because that's what they do. And if you say haters gonna hate, you probably gotta do it like this. Haters gonna hate. And you gotta pull your fingers back. And our choices, go ahead and write this part down. You can let the hate defeat you, or you can let the hate develop you. Come on, somebody, that's good. Because the hate can keep you down, the hate can keep you small, the hate can keep you pushed back, but God wants to work through that to develop you in those areas. There's this guy. His name's Joel Osteen. I don't know if y'all ever heard of him. He's got this budding ministry in Houston. Notice how I said the word budding. Is that so cool? And we were with him one time, and he said, you know, David and Nicole, you'll only be as big as the amount of hate that you can tolerate. Because for everybody who likes you, there will be somebody who doesn't. And the problem with that is Joseph's brothers didn't like him. And they're like, oh, you know what we want to do? We want to kill him. And so people, your boss will go chopping at your life. Maybe it's even your parents who go chopping at your life. Maybe it's your teachers who went chopping at your life. Maybe it's your coach, your publisher, the bank wouldn't give you the money. People go chopping at your life. They try to take the hedge clippers to your dream through hate. And you just got to be sure when you take a moment and you stop and you look at who's holding the hedge clippers, that you look up and you look in the mirror and you make sure it's not you. Because the enemy will try to work through your inner me and tell you it can't happen for you. Get this, because of what happened to you or what happened because of you. He'll play both sides at the same time. You see, I get the what happened to you piece. So does Joseph. Let's start with Joseph, then I'll tell you mine. Joseph thought, I don't know that I can do this anymore because I told my brothers, and then my dad told me to go check on them and check them. I went to check on them and check them. It was a 4-day walk. They weren't even there. I had to walk another day to Dothan. And when I went, they saw me coming. Do you know how they saw Joseph coming? Because his robe didn't look like anybody else's. His favor didn't look like anybody else's. When they saw the sleeves, they saw the floor length, and they saw the color coming, they hated him before he got there. The enemy sees your favor coming, and it makes him mad, but it makes God glad. I'm telling you, wear your favor with pride, knowing it's not you who put it on you. It's God that put it on you, and there's nothing that you can do about it. But whatever you do, don't take it off of you. But your haters will try. Here's the thing. They threw him in a pit. They were going to kill him. They throw him in a pit. They steal his robe. They can't shoplift your favor. They can't take your favor off you. They can't, well, they got me fired. They can't take your favor. They talked about me behind my back. They can't take your favor. They took my promotion, but they can't take your favor. You cannot steal favor. You cannot manipulate favor. You cannot connive favor. That favor has your name on it. Nobody can use it but you. They might have your recipe, baby, but they can't bake your cake. So here's Joseph thrown in a pit, getting sold into slavery by his family, y'all. He's crushed. I remember fourth grade was a monumentous year in my life. It was the year that I found out I was adopted by my stepdad. It was the year that I got saved with a little wordless book that was all just colors and a story in my mama's living room on a floor of a blue-sided house in the country. And it was the year that I got molested by somebody in my neighborhood. And in our little country town where we didn't have any money, because my dad was a factory worker, he worked at Chrysler, he got laid off, had trouble finding a job, the economy was bad, finally got a janitor job. We ate out of our garden, and if I wanted seconds of chicken, I had to eat seconds of everything else that we grew in the garden and canned ourselves off my plate to get a second piece of chicken. And my mama made lima beans and stewed tomatoes at like every meal because they were abundant in the garden, and she knew I ate a lot and I hated those. That's not why she made them, but that's what I think in my head, right? Like, I gotta eat more stewed tomatoes to get chicken, but I'm hungry. So the kids found out what happened to me in our town. I'll talk about it in my book because I don't want you living under rejection and shame and betrayal and labels and everything else that the enemy's gonna try and crush you down with. So I knew what it was like to be alone and be lonely. And in eighth grade, I got raped. Well, I tell you what, I told one person what happened to me in fourth grade and saw what happened. I didn't tell anybody about that. I just kept it on the inside. And I felt like my no had no power and had been taken away from me. So all I had left was yes. So I went to this new high school, this new town, this new school district. Nobody knew me. And what I didn't realize is that people could invite me to do things. And yes, made them happy. So do you want to go do this? Yes. Do you want to go to a party? Yes. Do you want to drink this? Yes. Can I kiss you? Yes. Yes. Just yes. They were my glory days. I had so much fun and ended up pregnant at 17 years old. The first part of life, it was what had happened to me. And then at 17 years old, I realized what had happened because of me. Now I had both reasons to count myself out. You see how I ended up with a man. I didn't think enough of myself. I'm telling you right now, you can't start thinking what other people think about you. I know there's the tension and the enemy's trying to tell you you're not going to measure up, but there's a tension between here, here, and this beautiful budded rose. And what you can't do is you can't try and hold it shut and say, no, God can't use me. Look what happened. Didn't you see what happened to me? Why did God let that happen to you? You got saved in fourth grade. God didn't let that happen to me. He said, I'm never going to leave you and I'm never going to forsake you. And I see what is coming in your life. And there's no way I'm going to let this fourth grade girl go through it alone. So I need to make sure that she meets me before she goes through that. Because I'm going to hold her hand through it. And I'm going to make her strong enough. The enemy's going to try and kill her. But I'm going to make her pain, her platform. Because get this, the depths of your wounds do not determine the height of your future. I talk about it in my book, The Depths of Your Wounds. How does that work? God showed me a slingshot. And you know how they've got that Y and they got the little rubber band? He says, when you pull the slingshot back just a little bit, you don't end up going very far. But he says, you know, I made a commitment to you in Romans 8:28, that I will work all things together for your good. So what happens is the enemy comes up and he throws you in a pit. He turns your family on you. You get molested. You get raped. 1 in 3 girls are molested before 18. 1 in 5 boys are. He said, these things happen. He said, but I'm never going to waste a hurt. If the enemy dares come on this territory, he might bruise your heel, but I'm going to crush his head. So any depth of pain, anything you go through, anything the enemy does, he says, that's how far back I will pull the slingshot. Then when I let you go, you are going to be propelled so much further and so much faster than you could ever go on your own. He makes the enemy pay 7 times for anything he ever tried to do to you. Somebody give God a praise for being good. God's plan for you never changed. God's plan for you never, ever changed. But you don't know what I did. Didn't change. You don't know how I hurt. Didn't change. You don't know what they did to me. Didn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God can use goofy people even like me. How do I qualify God? You don't qualify because you're worthy. You qualify because you're willing. You're here. You're leaning in. He's just looking for some willing people who are goofy. In Romans 11:29, he says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. He gave it to you before you were born. He gave it to you before Jesus came to earth. He said, you know what? I know that they're going to be born, and she's going to do this, and he's going to do that. And boy, oh my gosh, they're never going to want anybody to find out about this. But you know what? I'm willing to die for it. I'm willing to cover it. I'm willing to take it on me so that they can live out the plan that I have for them. I know what they're going to do, but I'm going to cover them anyway. Joseph, he heads to Potiphar's house as a slave. But sure enough, the favor wasn't in the coat. The favor was on the man. And even in that position, he was raised up and raised up and raised up till he's second in command of the household. For a guy who is captain in Pharaoh's army, if you translate his position, he is known in the army as the executioner. How many of you don't want to work for the mob because you know how it ends? That's who he works for. And then his wife says that Joseph tries to rape her. Joseph commits an executable offense, working for the executioner, and somehow he doesn't get executed. How does that work out? The mercy of God. Are you telling me the mercy of God put Joseph in jail for 13 years? Yes, because God never wastes a hurt. What he did is he connected him with some guys in jail because they were having a little jailhouse party. And those guys worked for Pharaoh when they got out. So the guy who's working for Pharaoh has some dreams. And he's like, I just need somebody to interpret these dreams. And the guy says, there's a guy in prison. Now, it took 13 years. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, you might sit here and be ready to tell me a story about why it can't happen to you because you're too old, you've waited too long, you're not married yet, you're not pregnant yet, you've applied to 200 banks, you can't take the job, they told you you got 4 weeks to live. I don't know the reason that you're going to tell me it's been too long, but if Joseph would have stopped in prison saying, it's been too long, thanks for the invitation, but I know where I belong, it's in jail, you don't know what happened to me, you don't know what happened because of me. No, Joseph got up and said, I believe I've been waiting for this appointment for the king for 13 years. So you know what? Go ahead and put a robe on me. Go ahead and cut me hair. Go ahead and clean me up because you don't know who's God's got on the other side of the door. It may be some lady trying to tip somebody from Congo who they would have never met, but God knows your heart's desire and your dream. And he says, here I am to meet it. I am faithful. I am worthy. I am mighty. And I am bigger than you can ask, thank, or imagine. And if you believe that about God today, would you give him a good praise? So I want to pray with y'all before I go. Because you don't belong on the sidelines. You don't belong surviving. You have a mandate, a robe, a favor, a call to thrive. So I want to wake that up. Just like Lazarus. Come on, she's got it. Just like Lazarus. Everybody thought he was dead. You might think it's dead, but all Jesus had to do was say, Lazarus, dream, come forth in the name of Jesus. So if that's you today, raise your hands to heaven as we pray. Father God, I pray for each and every raised hand, each and every hibernating, not dead dream. And we speak to these dreams and say, they are not dead, they just sleepeth. Talitha Kume, you come forth in the name of Jesus. God, give us the courage, give us the strength, give us the wisdom, give us the ability. God, give us the tenacity of the Holy Spirit to say, we might not see it with our natural eyes, but we see it with our spiritual eyes. And we will walk into our predestined favor, purpose, calling, place, and destiny. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Was that all right for today? Happy Mother's Day, everybody, and hope you enjoyed Tiffany's story. You can check this out.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.